SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Wadamuli and welcome to NITV Radio. I'm Kerry Lee and it's my absolute pleasure to be with you, Mob, today on the radio. And it is Monday, the 14th day of April 2025. I do hope you had a damn fine weekend, whatever it is that you may have done over the last couple of days. Well, we're back to the working week again, so let's get into it. Right here on NITV Radio, coming up for you on the program today, we'll be exploring all things First Nations during this hour for you. And coming up soon, well, it's week 3 of the election. Week with former ABC host John Fain will be joining me. Also coming up on the program, Dr. Jill Gallagher from That Show, or the Victorian Aboriginal Community Health Controlled Organisation, and we'll be yarning about a new community campaign, a community advert which has been launched. And also coming up, we'll be talking all things black art from Western Australia as we speak with a young curator, and we'll be talking all about the exhibition that is revealed. All that and all deadly music coming up for you as well this hour, and in just a moment, all the latest SBS news you need to know for this Monday.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
And coming up in this bulletin, housing policies launched by major parties questioned by economists, and a class action lawsuit filed against Bupa aged care homes. And in sports, Dutch cyclist Mathieu de Poel wins the Paris-Roubaix race for the third straight year. The federal government says it believes its housing election policy announced over the weekend will go some way to addressing the supply issue. Labor's policy would allow all Australian first home buyers to purchase their first home with a 5% deposit, avoiding lenders' mortgage insurance in an expansion of an existing scheme. The party says it would allocate $10 billion to build 100,000 homes exclusively for first home buyers. Housing Minister Claire O'Neill says the supply issue is being addressed by the Housing Australia Future Fund, which provides loans and grants for projects that increase the supply of affordable housing across Australia.
Our government has been assiduously working on building more homes for 3 years now, and it's working. Let me just share some numbers with you. We've got a commitment to build 1.2 million homes with the states over the coming 5 years. We are making real progress on that. We've built 500,000 homes across this country since we came to government, and that's been assisted by the policies that we've put in place. Fee-free TAFE has trained 500,000 people around our country, 40,000 of them in construction professions.
The Greens Party has launched its election policy on education, outlining a $46.5 billion plan for free university and TAFE. Greens leader Adam Bandt, party, says the cost of the policy over 3 years would be offset by its corporate tax policy, which would involve taxing coal, gas, oil and mining companies, as well as excessive profits of big corporations.
In a wealthy country like ours, everyone should be able to afford the basics, and that includes a good quality free public education from early childhood right the way through to TAFE and university. And we can fund it. One in three big corporations in this country pays no tax at all. Meanwhile, Gina Rinehart and Australia's billionaires, well, billionaires doubled their wealth over the last 6 years while everyone else was doing it tough.
And the Prime Minister says Adelaide would host the UN Climate Summit if Australia was successful in its bid for the COP31 summit in 2026. Australia has a joint bid with Pacific nations to host the event, but they won't know until June next year if they've won against a rival bid put forward by Turkey. The coalition says it won't be supporting such a bid for COP31. Anthony Albanese says it makes sense for Adelaide to host any potential successful bid for the event.
And one of the things that a climate change conference would do is showcase this beautiful city of Adelaide to the entire world. And when you look at the work that the Premier is doing in renewables, then I can't think of anywhere better than South Australia. A bit like the election, that we're not getting ahead of ourselves, we haven't won the bid. But if the bid is successful, then my choice will be having it right here in Adelaide.
A class action lawsuit has been launched against Bupa aged care homes by residents who allege they received substandard care between 2019 and 2025. The class action alleges that by failing to provide staffing levels that would meet minimum acceptable standards, Bupa has breached contractual obligations and Australian consumer law. Echo Law has filed the case in the federal court with support from Australian litigation funder CASL. Bupa has not yet responded to requests for comment. Impeached South Korean leader Yoon Suk-yeol will attend the first hearing of his criminal trial to face charges that he led an insurrection when he declared martial law late in 2024. Mr. Yoon's declaration on December 3 that martial law was needed plunged the country into months of turmoil. The charge of insurrection faced by the impeached leader is punishable by life, imprisonment or even death, although South Korea has not yet executed anyone in decades. Mr. Yoon was removed by the Constitutional Court from office earlier this month on April 4 for violating constitutional powers. He has denied all charges against him. And United States President Donald Trump says no one is getting off the hook from his trade policies as he sought to clarify how tariffs would apply to electronic products like smartphones and computers. In a post on social media, he says as far as he's concerned, there is no tariff exception for certain electronic products. He says they are still subject to existing tariffs of 20%, and his administration is looking into new tariffs that would apply to the whole supply chain of electronics. The comments come after US Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick earlier spoke on the American Broadcasting Company on this week program, suggesting there was a tariff exception for a range of electronics, but it was only temporary.
We need to have these things made in America. We can't be reliant on Southeast Asia for all of the things that operate for us. So what he's doing is he's saying they're exempt from the reciprocal tariffs, but they're included in the semiconductor tariffs, which are coming in probably a month or two. So these are coming soon. You shouldn't think this is really outside of it. Really think of it as being included in the semiconductor space, much like pharmaceuticals.
Mr. Trump's back and forth on tariffs has increased uncertainty faced by investors and businesses, prompting the wildest swings on global financial markets since the COVID pandemic of 2020. 2020. And now to sport. And in cycling, Mattia van der Poel overcame a fierce challenge by Tadej Pogačar to claim his third straight victory in the Paris-Roubaix. Pogačar had been looking to become the first Tour de France winner to also prevail in this race since 1981, but he overcooked a turn and lost his balance on a cobbled section of the route. The Dutch cyclist says an opportunity arose and he took it.
Yeah, the speed was super high and I think he misjudged the turn a bit. I was just quick enough to save it, and then I don't know what happened afterwards, because he was quite a big gap I had immediately, and then I had to go for it. That's part of racing.
And now for a look at today's weather for this Monday, the 14th day of April 2025. And looking across the country, Perth, shower or two, 25. Adelaide, mostly sunny, 33. Melbourne or Nam, possible showers, 23 today. Hobart in Tasmania, early showers or two, 16. Canberra in the nation's capital, mostly sunny, 25. Wollongong, possible late showers and 26. Sydney in New South Wales, much the same, 27 today. Newcastle, mostly sunny, top of 27. 27 for Brisbane and shower or two. Cairns, 29, also a shower or two, and Darwin in the top end of Australia, shower or two with a possible storm and 33 degrees. That's him, Dumb Things, right here on NITV Radio, right across Australia. I'm your host today, Kerry Lee. It's my absolute pleasure to be in the chair, in the studio, in my happy place. And that song, of course, lifted from the Jays, from our sister network, of course, the ABC, Triple J I'm talking about. And we had Paul Kelly there on vocals. And, of course, that track from the Laika version from the Jays, featuring brother boy Dan Sultan in there. We heard from John Butler on the keys. And Briggs was in there as well. Well, it is week three of the election campaign. And joining me very soon on the program today is my regular election segment guest, John Fain, and former ABC host. And we're going to be breaking down all the politics for you coming up in just a moment.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Right here on NITV Radio, week three of the election campaign. I'm happy to be joined by John Fain, former ABC host. And John, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
Week three, halfway point. And John, can you give us a quick overview of where you think the election contest is at as we approach the Easter interruption?
And interruption it is too, Kerry Lee. Now, both parties launched their official campaigns on Sunday. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, chose to do it in Perth because there are multiple seats in Western Australia that the Labor Party have won in the last election that they want to hold on to. So he wants to ingratiate himself to people in Western Australia and defend those seats, because if they lose them back to the coalition, it makes his task of trying to hold on to enough seats to form government almost impossible. He's also got a very popular Western Australian Premier, Roger Cook, to partner with over there. And having just won the state election, he wants to ride that wave. And Western Australia's economy is very different to New South Wales or Victoria's economy, for instance, or even Queensland's. So it's a buoyant mood over there and one that he wants to capitalise on. Peter Dutton launched the Liberal campaign in Western Sydney because he's trying to appeal to the kind of demographic, the type of people who live in Western Sydney, not just in Western Sydney, but those types of people, that type of voter in suburban capital cities right around Australia. So that's called tradie heartland. So he's trying to appeal to a particular voter, in particular men more than women and people who work in trades and occupations rather than professions. And so their policies are all directed and targeted to that type of voter. So that's why they've each chosen those locations to do it. Now, Mr. Dutton was joined by former Liberal prime ministers, in particular John Howard, who has almost heroic status in their pantheon. But also, interestingly, Tony Abbott turned up, not always the most popular presence in the Liberal Party in some quarters. He's a very divisive figure. Scott Morrison turned up. Very risky, because in many areas of Australia, he's still regarded as a negative, not a positive. But of the former Liberal Prime Ministers, no Malcolm Turnbull. Not surprising, he's spoken out against many of the Liberal Party's policies, and he undoubtedly would not have been welcome, and he wouldn't, I don't think, have pushed his case. At the Labor launch, star turn by Julia Gillard. Rock star presence and incredible charisma. And it's interesting looking back the way history rewrites and reassesses people's contributions. Interestingly, and I think this is worth pausing on just for a moment, Julia Gillard ran a minority government, a Labor government that depended on a few crossbenchers in order to govern. And that's being regarded still in the polls, we'll come to that a little later, as the most likely outcome of this election too, although things are moving around a little bit. Kim Beazley was there, Kevin Rudd couldn't be, he's in the US where he's Australia's ambassador, and Paul Keating didn't turn up, he's now 81. So still a great in the Labor pantheon, but he didn't make the trip over to Western Australia. And these events, they're very stage managed, they're very theatrical. It's designed to get a headline on the Monday morning papers and positive coverage on the Sunday night TV news, which is kind of funny because the target sort of swinging voters in this election are the people who don't read newspapers or watch television news anymore. They get their content, their information, all from social media, which, of course, is not working on the same cycles. So it's a bit like, it's a bit of an old-world theatrical set piece to do a launch like that on a Sunday evening or a Sunday afternoon. It hasn't adapted to the new times that we're in. So I don't know that they'll keep doing them in future. In fact, I think slowly as the world and the media world changes, they'll probably find other ways of announcing policies. And we'll get to those policies next.
And John, what new policies have been announced in this critical pre-Easter week?
It's critical because pre-poll voting starts in a week. So on April 22, tomorrow week as we're recording, straight after the Easter break. So there's a couple of days where people go away on holidays, they do whatever they're going to do, they tune out, whatever people do, they don't think about politics. And these days, more than half of people vote before the actual voting day. So during this period from the 22nd, that's next week, until May 3, half the people in Australia, and it's a record turnout this time and a very high registration, 90-something, 96% or something of Australians have registered to vote. And they, a lot of them now will vote early and then they can tune out and go, oh, I've made up my mind, I'm going to get my voting done and then I don't have to take any notice of all this nonsense anymore. Now, there's a sort of flip side to that. It's really interesting. It means those who haven't voted become the undecideds by and large. The undecideds put off voting until they decide. So very often people who are disengaged don't turn their minds to it till the very end. So they're still gettable. You can still persuade them. You can still get them to listen to your message if you're well enough fine-tuned. So there'll be no easing up on the photo opportunities, the advertising and all the rest of it. So what policies have they announced? So let's start with the government first, the Labor Party. $1,000 as an automatic tax deduction for everyone. So about 40% of taxpayers claim less than $1,000 in deductions. You know, your tax deductions are things that money you spend in order to earn your income. So if you buy equipment, if you buy a computer, if you have to buy an item of some tools, or if you have to buy specific clothing, you can tax deduct that. Well, about 40% of people claim less than $1,000. So what Anthony Albanese's done is he's basically given everyone a cut off their tax of about $1,000 for some people, or a proportion of that for those who only claim a couple of $100 here and there. And that's huge, and that's attracted a lot of headlines. They've also announced some big housing policies. We'll come to the Liberals' housing policy in a moment. The Labor's one is two things: $10 billion on building houses, a home building scheme. So somehow the federal government say they're going to partner with developers and find vacant or underused government land, and the states and territories will be told they have to fast track the rezoning of that land so it can be built, and the government will be an active partner in it. So there's lots of detail, which we won't go into today, but the states and territories have to match, and that's designed to build more homes, not rely on the market, on the private developers. But the other part of what they're doing is they're providing government support for people who haven't got enough for a deposit. So if you want to buy a house, you should have 10, even 20% of the purchase price as a deposit. So if you're buying a $500,000 house, you're supposed to have $50,000 or even $100,000 saved up. That's really hard. Really hard. And as house prices go higher and higher, the deposit gets higher and higher. If you don't have that much, you can take out what's called mortgage insurance and buy a house with a smaller deposit. So the government's basically wiping out mortgage insurance by saying, we'll step in and do that. If you've got a 5% deposit, we'll help by underwriting, we'll guarantee the rest, and you don't have to take out mortgage insurance. So that's going to make a big difference to people, if indeed it works. So that's the Labor Party's offering. The Liberal Party, they're offering a tax cut also, $1,200 straight away tax cut, but it's once off. It's only for the first year if they're the government. And after that, they're saying, well, people have cost of living struggling now. We'll just cut $1,200 out. Everyone can have that. And then later on, we'll catch up in years two and three of our term in office. Now, that's been described by The Economist as a sugar hit, but for a lot of people, I think it'll be very effective. The other thing about housing that they've done, they're going to spend a lot of money, government money, allowing first home buyers to tax deduct their mortgage payments. So if you're a first home buyer, you can go and build a new house or buy a house that's been built, and your first 5 years of mortgage payments are tax deductible. Now, that's huge. It's very common in other economies. In America, you can tax deduct your mortgage payments, but on the other hand, you pay tax when you sell a house. You pay a capital gains tax. They're not talking about that here. So this is enormous. For singles, $175,000 income is the means test. So in other words, if you're up to $175,000, you're eligible for this. And for couples, $250,000. This will be very attractive to that targeted group, which is young families trying to buy a house, usually on the urban fringe of our big cities, and they'll say, wow, that's going to help. Now, the economists haven't been happy about it. They say it's going to push prices up. If you don't supply enough houses, then more people are competing for the ones that are there. So it's interesting to see how that's washing out, and we'll see whether or not it works to get the votes they want. So neither party is talking about serious structural tax reform, even though everyone's calling for it. Instead, they're saying, here, have this handout, have that handout. They're both doing the same kind of thing of giving particular groups a particular present at the expense of everybody else. But ever since Bill Shorten tried major reforms back in 2019, and that didn't work, no one wants to hit the reset button. I mean, the last real serious tax reform in Australia was the GST with John Howard and Peter Costello.
So would you say it would be best for the major parties to play it safe during this election campaign?
That's what they're doing.
Okay.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're saying, we're not sticking our neck out. We're not going to do anything that might blow up in our faces. We're just going to offer what effectively are gifts, bribes, call it what you like. We're going to appeal to the people who we know are going to decide who's going to win this election, and we'll see if we can get them to our side by offering them something that's straight into the hip pocket.
John, our election is happening, of course, with the backdrop of the Trump presidency, well in train, with great disruption of global trade, causing chaos on the stock markets. Does that impact on our election?
It impacts on people's mood. So I think it's the most impact it's going to have, Kerry Lee, is it's making a lot of people think now's not the time to make big changes. And I think that works in favour of the incumbent government. In other words, the people who are there now, people will say, look, you know, we don't want to just throw everything up and make big changes. And the other thing is that Peter Dutton has tried, he tried to link himself to Donald Trump, make America great again, and now he's running a mile from it because it's in their focus groups and opinion polling, that's not worked at all. But interestingly, and particularly for our audience today, Jacinta Namba-Jimpa-Price has invoked the Make America Great Again slogan while campaigning with Peter Dutton last week in Western Australia, which delighted the Labor Party strategists and infuriated the Liberal Party back office people, who know that any connection to the Donald goes down like, I knew
like
I said something terribly rude.
Like a stock market crash. Moving to our next question, John, why are the independents doing so well at the moment? And can you explain to me what a teal is?
Sure. This is the big test of the two major parties. So I think we mentioned in our first conversation, this could be the end of the duopoly. In other words, for politics in Australia has been dominated by the two big parties, the Liberal Party, Labor Party, for as long as anyone can remember. And so the teals were described in, certainly in conservative circles, because a lot of the teal seats used to be conservative seats. They thought it was a bit of a fad and a passing fad. But we'll find out this election whether, in fact, that is accurate or not. So the control the big parties have over their representatives, you know, you toe the party line or you're out, I think that's over. And if you drive around neighbourhoods, you see an enormous support base in the big cities for a lot of the independents. A lot of people are saying, I don't want the big parties controlling things anymore. I want them to be negotiating over how the country is run with people who represent me.
And does this include some of our younger demographic as well, who would be looking at the Teals or the independents as another alternative?
Correct. Absolutely correct. So older people are more set in their voting patterns. Younger people are less set and they're more prepared to shop around.
John Fain, thank you for joining us on NITV Radio today.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
Right here on NITV Radio across Australia on this Monday afternoon. I'm Kerry Lee and I'm your host for this hour. I do hope you're enjoying the program and I think it's time to get down and listen to some music and have a bit of a music break. And we're going to celebrate with this piece of music because I can tell you that this year SBS is turning 50 years old. That's right. We've been around a long time in broadcasting in Australia and we're celebrating right across the country on all our different media platforms and all our different networks at SBS. So I just wanted to play a little bit of Stevie Wonder because we can, right here on NITV Radio. This is Happy Birthday to SBS. Yay, woo! Go right here on NITV Radio today. Sorry about that. We call that technical difficulty sometimes here on the radio because that happens in live radio land, you mob. I'm Kerry Lee. Really good to be with you this hour. Still a little way to go with me on the airways right across Australia on this Monday afternoon. It's the 14th day of April 2025. And what a moolie to you if you've just joined us. And welcome to what is us mob here at NITV Radio. And coming up next, we're going to check out a very new Aboriginal community ad campaign. That's right. It's out and about across different platforms here in Australia. And we'll hear why this particular ad launched here in Victoria is a damn good thing for all Australians.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
right here on NITV Radio. And Dr. Jill Gallagher, or can we say Auntie Dr. Jill Gallagher, from that show, will be on your Black Radio here on NITV in just a moment. And Auntie is, of course, from that show, the Victorian Aboriginal Community Health Controlled Organisation, and based in Melbourne, or the city also known in language as NAM. And Dr. Jill Gallagher, who will be joining me in just a moment to discuss this very new deadly ad campaign, which has just been released to deal with racism, among other things, right here in Melbourne and across Australia. And this advert is actually aimed at all of us mob. That's right, all Australians, Auntie Jill Gallagher says, coming up in this next interview. So, right here on NITV Radio, how about we have a listen to that advert right now. And this advert is from the mob at VACCHO, also known, as I mentioned earlier, the Victorian Community Health Controlled Organisation.
You're with NITV Radio.
Imagine a country where every child grows up proud of the culture that's been here for over 65,000 years.
A place where our culture isn't feared
or debated,
but shared,
respected
and celebrated.
Good leadership means standing with all Australians,
not just the ones that look like you.
Truth isn't dangerous.
Silence is.
If you don't know, ask why.
Learn. Strength is in our unity.
We've carried this hurt for too long,
but we are unbreakable.
We know where we can be.
In a bright future
that includes everyone.
Who are you going to stand with?
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
You are with us today to yarn about the VACCHO launch of the Speak Out campaign. What is it exactly, please, Auntie?
The Speak Out campaign is a campaign to try and combat racism in our country. And we did release it and launch it strategically before the election. So I need to say that. It was important to do that. So I hope everyone has seen it.
Why do you think it's important VACCHO has launched this campaign at this time?
I think it's really important because there is currently a lot of hype and a lot of media around two things. One of them is anti-Semitic racism, other cultures being attacked. And I don't want to dwell too much on that, but there's also a lot of racism still with our communities, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. But when that happens, there's no outrage. But if it's another culture, then there is outrage. Anyways, so that's one reason. The other reason is that, as we all know, the election has been called and the political parties are out there spruiking their policies, and very disappointed to see not a lot of policies or promises about to continue to close the life expectancy gap between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal Australian citizens. There's nothing there that saying they're going to address our issues. So that's disappointing. But I think the other reason we've got to be mindful, we are in scary times in the world, actually, not just in Australia, when you see other leaders of other countries and how they treat other people and human beings. And anyways, when you get a political party or parties coming out, even before the election was called, coming out and saying things like, we won't stand in front of the Aboriginal flag, we're going to stop welcomes to country, That's pretty scary stuff. And you know, when you consider that there's a lot more important things to Australia, that is things like, you know, the cost of housing, not only the cost of housing, the limited number of housing stock, cost of living.
Did you get local mob involved in the production process and the filming of the Speak Out campaign?
We did. We got a lot of local mob, which was really amazing, and we got a lot of non-mob that were local to participate in, and other cultures to participate in our Speak Out campaign.
You're calling on all Australians, like you just mentioned there, Aunty Jill, with this new ad campaign. What is it that Batcho are wanting for people to do throughout this 2025 federal election campaign?
Well, what I'm asking for all Australians to look at, we need someone at the helm is actually going to focus on the bigger issues we're facing as a country. We need someone who's going to deal with those matters and deal with them properly. So I would like all Australians to look at those political parties. And there's a saying that, I can't remember who said this saying, but there was a saying, those who traffic in division have no vision. So, I mean, I think we've got to keep that in mind.
Yes.
When we go to the polls. I also wanted to say to all Australians that, you know, you have one of the oldest living cultures in your own backyard. It is your culture as well as it is ours.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
Right here on NITV Radio. What a morley. And if you've just joined us, I'm Kerry Lee. It's my absolute pleasure to be with you on this Monday afternoon. Thank you so much for your company. I do hope you've been enjoying the program on this afternoon. What is a Monday after the weekend? We are week three of an election, so it's a really busy time. Love it or hate it, we've got another 3 weeks left of this election campaign. And then we get to vote. But I can tell you that John Fain, former ABC host, did say that the pre-polling does open in 1 week. There you go. So a lot of mob, or people who aren't mob, yeah, they'll be voting in the pre-poll. There you go, because lots of people will. And there'll be lots of people who'll just be doing their voting as they do on voting day on that Saturday, probably looking out for a democracy sausage. There you go. Well, now it's time to talk all things black art. That's right, Noongar art. We're heading to Western Australia. That's right, time to talk all things revealed. And that's the name of a new art exhibition, which has just launched over in Perth, or Borloo, which is the language name. And now we head over to Western Australia to yarn all things black art. And in just a moment, I'm very lucky to be joined by a young art curator, a Noongar woman. Zali Morgan is her name. We had a deadly old chat together as we explore the recently opened Aboriginal art exhibition, Revealed, which is open and on until the 15th of June. And did I mention there is also an art market? And who doesn't love an art market with Indigenous artworks? Yeah, you had me at art market. There you go. It's true. But more on that in just a moment for you. In fact, coming up right after this short break on NITV Radio with me, Kerry Lee.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
Hi, my name is Zali Morgan. I'm a Whadjuk Ballardong woman, Noongar woman. I'm currently based in Borloo, Perth. I grew up in Margaret River, Woodchuck Billia, Wurundjeri country, and relocated to Perth to complete tertiary studies and continued living here since.
Too deadly. Thank you so much. Now, you're working on this amazing
project, this artistic project over in WA at the moment. Currently the Noongar Residency Curator, Legatup Heathcote, and is the 2025 Revealed Curator. So we're here to talk about that today. And what can you tell us about Revealed? What's it all about?
Yeah, so Revealed is an epic exhibition, and it also comprises of an art market. So the Revealed this the exhibition this year is hosted at the Perth Institute of Contemporary Arts, right in the CBD of Perth. After it was at Fremantle Arts Centre for about 10 years, and so it's really great to bring it back to the CBD where it originated. There's over 85 artists featured in the exhibition, with over about 170 artworks. And from all across the state, all across WA, there's 17 independent artists featured, which is a really high number for Revealed, and the rest are all from art centres across the state. There are also 47 artists who have never exhibited in Revealed before, so this is their first time and it's really exciting. And a lot of those artists may have not even exhibited their work before at all. So it's just really nice, great to be supporting emerging artists. And there's a couple of established artists also working in new mediums, so it's really fostering experimentation and new ways of working as well.
Running all things art here today. Do tell me, what is the art from Mob in Western Australia like? How would you describe it? I know it's different from whichever community you would go to, of course. Yeah. How would you describe it for us, Mob, and for those who may not know, Sis?
Yeah, so WA, you know, it's a huge state, so there's lots of different artwork coming out of this state. We've got really Western desert style through to really contemporary painting, through to sculpture. There's a few acrylic neon works, ceramics, glass, printmaking. It's really just exciting. And I think that's what's so great about having it here at the Perth Institute of Contemporary Art, is that it's, you know, these are contemporary artists working in contemporary mediums. The stories that they might be telling are, you know, millennia old or, you know, forever, but they're still contemporary artists. And so that's a real big message that we're trying to push out, is that, you know, these are contemporary artists.
Thank you, Sally. And as we know, Revealed has been running for a number of years now. How has the event grown and changed over the years from your perspective?
It's been really great and exciting to see it change. And I think, it's great that it's in the CBD back where it all started. So originally starting at the North Metro TAFE, then heading out to Fremantle Arts Centre, now back here at Perth Institute of Contemporary Arts. So just having that change and refresh between venues has been really nice. We've seen the number of sales made and the number of artists increase as well, which has been really beneficial for communities and artists. And just the mediums, they're always ever changing and people exploring new mediums. So that's been really lovely to see as well.
And I'm really interested to know, what do you love most about your role as curator for this exhibition?
Yeah, so as curator, it can be quite, you know, there's so many moving parts to reveal, getting in the artworks from across the state and everywhere. So it can be a big job, but the best part about it, and it makes everything else worth it, is when the artists come in and see their work and the pride and the joy that they feel in showing their work to their family and community as well as audiences. That's the best part about the job, is seeing that.
And what's some of the feedback that those artists give you personally?
Yeah, they're just so blown away, and a lot of the time there's like, yeah, they get quite emotional, and they just, yeah, a lot, it's just, you know, they might not even say that much, but it's just the pride that is emanating from them is so beautiful.
Visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio.
Right here on NITV Radio, that was curator and Noongar woman Zali Morgan. Thanks so much, Sis, for that yarn. Time now to leave you with some deadly music. This is Bujara and Hiya. I'll see you, Mob, next time on the radio. In fact, on Wednesday this week. Wadamuli.
Keep taking me higher, higher. Keep taking me higher, higher. Keep taking me higher, higher. Keep taking me higher, higher.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.